Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:20 Central African time, and you know when you leave a Josie and you leave your Josie, you leave your posy from Josie to Durban, and I know why you Josie guys like Durban. You like the sardines, you like the fish, you like the sea, you like the atmosphere, you like your cousins in Durban, and one of your favorite cousins in Durban, yes, I know, Hussein Ghani. Yeah, you're really fond of Adam Kamda, and Adam Kamda tells me, Hussein Ghani, that he's very fond of you also. Hey, I tell you, what camaraderie, but I'm also very fond of Adam Kamda. There's he standing on his 10th floor looking down onto the promenade, and the Indian Ocean says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, I'm looking now and now there in the deep blue sea. Adam Kamda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, salam to you and the listeners. It was a really cold start this morning. I was up before sunrise. I went for a cycle, and Durbanite can't handle the cold, Shafat. I cut my cycle short and got back to the apartment. Now the sun's rising and it's warming everything up, but there's still lots of people on the promenade, cycling, walking, jogging, really having a lovely morning this morning, Shafat.
Yeah, you bring it alive, Adam. And have they got the jerseys on? Have they got the duffer coats on? Do they have the, you know, all that warm things on? And are some running with coffee in their hands, Adam?
No, Shafat. Short pants and sleeveless tops, and everyone's just having fun. I suppose it's cold when you start, but once your body warms up, you enjoy a good cycle or a good run on the promenade. But for me this morning, Shafat, that cold was penetrating through my windbreaker, and I can really feel that sardine weather coming through, Shafat.
You know, you can talk about the sardine weather, but Adam, I don't know how true this is, but I used to get this feeling that if it's cold on the outside, and then when you put your feet in the water is always warmer. Why do we get that type of a scenario, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, that's quite a common phenomenon. I think, you know, as kids, you remember running into the water and coming out and playing on the sand. It's actually the wind that blows over your wet skin that cools your skin down. Then when you go back into the water, relatively it feels warmer. So even though the water may still be cold, but because you had that wind chill factor on your wet skin and you re-enter the water, everything feels much warmer and toastier when you get back in, Shafat.
You can hear, you talk about the toast. I feel for nice thick butter toast with honey now, and it dipped in lovely milk coffee, Adam. But talking about the currents of the ocean, we have the cold Benguela current and we have the warm Mozambique current. Talk to me about that phenomena of the cold Benguela current and the warm Mozambique current. And you are someone currently that is connected to the oceans. Talk to us about that, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, when I learned this in geography, I always found it difficult to remember which is which. But the clue is there, the warm Mozambique current. So it's on the eastern side, which is on our side, the KZN side of South Africa. And the cold current is on the opposite side, on the west side, Shafat. And that's what the sardines are looking for, Shafat. You know, we've got the warm Mozambique current running along our coast, but the sardines like cold water. So that's why they come through in winter when the conditions, you know, align. I always mention that, you know, we wait for the snow to melt in the berg and actually flow down the rivers and into the ocean. I feel that causes the ocean to cool down. But it's also the cold fronts that come through. There are two forecasts for next week, one around Thursday and the other around Sunday. So I think the conditions will really be good for the sardines to get moving from next week. And hopefully they'll be here for Father's Day, Shafat.
Yeah, be, all the fathers will be having sardine, sardine brides and so forth. But Adam, as you say, the cold Benguela current coming down that way and, you know, going towards the warm Mozambique current. So in other words, these sardines are coming from Cape Town side and this way and moving down towards, and they'll be going towards Mozambique, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, there's a lot of mystery surrounding the life cycle of sardines, where they originate, where they congregate, when they come past KZN, where do they actually go to and how do they make it back to the Cape? There's belief that there are some populations that are living on the west coast of South Africa and some that originate on the east coast of South Africa. There's a lot of scientific research being done on the sardines, but can you imagine that little silvery fish still manages to baffle many scientists, Shafat.
You know, it's a phenomena. If you talk about the Zamzam water, no one knows where it comes from, and that is only Allah knows. And the same with it comes to the sardines, alhamdulillah. And you know, I also believe that the real sardines are what we are getting is pilchards, but the real sardine is that one that is about 2, 3, 4 centimeters big, or was it 2.5 centimeters? How true is that, Adam?
No, Shafat, those smaller species are called anchovies. We do get anchovies coming through. And we even in the shop, we sell anchovies as bait. It's about a half the size to, you know, or even slightly less than half the size of a normal sardine, Shafat. But the Natal sardine is really sought after. And we all love the taste, especially that first batch that's caught, Shafat.
Then I don't know how some people like the anchovy paste. You know, they take in the bread and put it out. What about you, Adam? Will you have anchovies with the toast?
Yes, Shafat, I'm quite adventurous in terms of my palate. But also, I'm discerning as well. So I've tasted anchovy paste. It's palatable for me. It's, you know, you can use it like in moderation, with different preparations, like with snacks on salty crackers, etc., with some cream cheese. But it is quite a strong flavor and very salty flavor. So, in my opinion, use it in moderation. But it's not something I really look forward to. If I see anchovies on the grocery, on the supermarket shelf, I'm not going to grab a few cans. Maybe try it once in 3 months or once in 6 months apart.
As you said, that for me, it's a big icon. Then we look at a winkelspreit. There was a motion in the ocean. There was excitement. Everyone's jumping for it. And there was I think you told me earlier on, it was the red eye sardine that came to the fore. And, how many would really indulge to bulge with that type of sardine, Adam?
Shafat, on social media, especially Facebook, a lot of memories pop up from exactly a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I saw a video clip being circulated of Tony Moon netting the sardines, and I think it's a video clip from last year. So whenever you get anything, like say, for example, through WhatsApp, it's not date stamped, and there's no titles there to say exactly when it is. So you must be really cautious when you receive these type of video messages, and always take things, forgive the pun, with a pinch of salt. But having said that, there is a lot of bait fish around. There's a lot of red-eye sardine. There's a lot of sugar mackerel and mass bunker around. And these shoals are attracting huge schools of game fish like garrick, which is really exciting for our local fishermen. They're all kitting out their rods right now and getting ready for that action. And the shad run has started, Shafat. You know, ahead of the sardines, the shad are going absolutely bonkers on the south coast, especially areas like Port Shepstone and Rocky Bay. All the holidaymakers are so excited, running down with the newly acquired rods, having a throw and catching their first shad within a matter of 15 minutes, Shafat.
Wow, that excitement of catching this, and especially when you're living in a shoreline or a place like Spingo Beach, you catch your four, and after 2 hours you go back. Is anyone observing? Hey, that guy came earlier on, this time. But if you change your clothes and you put a different cap on and all, can they still pick you up, Adam?
You're teaching the listeners too many naughty tricks now, Shafat. I think those were the fun days that we had yesterday. At the moment, you know what, most of the anglers have moved towards conservation. They respect the rules. You're allowed a bag limit of 4 shad per day. That doesn't mean you can catch your 4 and then put it in your deep freeze and come and catch another 4. You're only allowed to have 4 in your possession. So even, for example, a visitor that comes down to a chalet and staying for 7 days, you're not allowed to accumulate 4 per day in your freezer. You're only allowed to have 4 maximum in your possession. That includes your freezer, Shafat. So if you catch your 4, then take it home, make yourself some fish breakfast, have some fried fish for lunch, have a nice fish curry later. Consume it or even share it with your neighbors and your relatives, and then so you don't have it in your possession and you can happily go back the next day and catch another 4, Shafat.
Now, Adam, how true is this? Yesterday, we had abundance of fish. There was more fish in the sea and so forth. And then, it was being depleted because of this trawling and overfishing and so forth. But then came COVID. And when COVID came,
it seemed as if the oceans replenished, the game life replenished, and everything came to the fore. Is the abundance still there, Adam?
You know, Shafat, through the COVID lockdowns, there's so many factors that, you know, it seems it's like you really have to think hard as to what's the difference and how sensitive these ecosystems are. I'll give you an example. During lockdown, there was a lot of shipping that had stopped. Ships stopped traveling between ports, and even there was no air traffic. And a simple thing like noise pollution from the ships and the airplanes, we don't understand how devastating it could be for marine life and for the movements in the ocean. And the entire marine ecosystem was given a break from all of that, be it ship movements, boat movements, even anglers on the shore, trawlers. Everything was given a rest. And you know what? Maybe there should be a moratorium on fish activity for a couple of months in the year, and to give everything a chance to revive itself. But we definitely noticed an increase in marine activity, you know, during the lockdown and even coming out of the lockdown, Shafar.
You make a lot of sense, Adam. And also I'm thinking aloud, what about those, you know, pollution, the plastic getting into the ocean and this and that? Because, if you know, you find out that the whales, they will beach on the shores, and you try and push them, go back. That whale doesn't want to go back because I can't go back. And I believe when they have did a dissection or an autopsy on the whale, they find it was full of plastics, Adam. How true is all this?
You know, Shafat, pollution is such a devastating factor when it comes to the amount of fish that we are catching now compared to yesteryear. And there's one topic that not many people are talking about, and it really needs to come to the fore. It's the quality of the water on our Durban beaches. With all the rivers flowing out and so much of malfunctioning sewer treatments, the E. coli levels are astronomical, and everything is sort of like swept under the carpet, Shafat. I think I saw a chart that said that the normal level should be 100 to 150, and it gave various categories above that. And I think critical was listed as 400 plus. And the numbers I saw recently within the last few weeks showed like 10,000 and 12,000, which is astronomical. But no one's talking about it, and no one's doing anything about it. So whoever's listening, if you are involved with environment and health issues, and, you know, if you can come forward and, you know, even talk about it in news articles and get to the right authority so we can find the source and plug it before, you know, it does too much of damage apart.
Yeah, with our sardine fever coming through, Adam, and many are looking forward to going to the oceans, enjoying it. And are there, you know, special charters that cater for holidaymakers to take them into the shoals and to show them how the action is happening, Adam?
Yes, Shafar. You know, over the years, KZN has really developed a fantastic sardine tourism industry, especially on the south coast. There are many dive charters, dive operators, who normally take scuba divers out to places like Aliwal Shoal and Protea Banks. But during the sardine run, they actually get quite a few boats booked to go out to do specialist sardine dives, Shafat. You get guys going out on scuba with amazing photographic equipment to film the sardine run, to photograph the fish. And then you even get some divers that do it free diving, Shafat, without scuba tanks. They hold their breath and they swim down. And this is not for the faint-hearted, Shafat, because you end up being in the middle of the shoals with all the predators around them, with birds diving from above and sharks feeding from below. And you are in the middle of all this excitement, Shafat. So it really is for experienced divers and photographers. But having said that, even if you are not a diver and you want to tag along, you can book a space on the boat and go out with them. There's still so much to see from above the surface, from the comfort of the boat, Shafat. And even here in Durban, there's a lot of fishing charters that would go out. They go out every day, Shafat, targeting bottom fish and game fish, etc. But it's a really special time during the sardine run, where you have shoals and shoals of sardines surfacing around you. You see whales coming up. You see dolphins, thousands of dolphins swimming around. It's the luck of the draw. You know, it can be a trip of a lifetime. You can make memories for life. Or on the other hand, fishing is fishing. Sometimes they just don't pop up, Shafat. So the facilities are there. You just need to book in advance and make your way down for lifelong memories on our KZN Coast Shepherd.
Yeah, also, Adam, there's a misconception between the seagulls and the gannets. And many say, oh, the seagulls are diving into the shoal of sardines. But it is more, it's a gannet. I want you to describe the difference in the physiology of the gannet and the seagull, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, I'm not a biologist, but I'll just talk about my observations. If you walk along casually along the beach, you'll see seagulls hobbling along the shore. They're usually scavengers. They'll pick up old pieces of bait, or even they harass us, on the boats when we're coming back from deep, and they fly along the boat hoping that you'll throw out some of the old bait that, that you've cut up. And they love to just consume whatever is left over. But the Cape gannets, you find that they follow the shoals of the sardines, and suppose they, the name gives it away that their usual habitat is around the Cape area. But as they follow the shoals up the KZN coast, you find thousands and thousands of these birds coming up to the KZN coastline. And these are the ones that you find dive bombing into the ocean, seeking the live sardines, and they gorge themselves till they cannot eat anymore. Then you find huge rafts of these gannets just floating around trying to digest that delicious fresh sardine shafar.
You know, you use the term dive bombing. What a sight that is. And if you watch a National Geographic, and you can see all this in motion. Watching these things on screen and digitized format. But when you're really there, Adam, you can't beat it alive. It's a different feeling altogether, Adam.
You know, Shafar, that's the one concept I always share with my friends who ask me about these birds diving into the ocean. We always imagine it to be, for example, like a fish eagle where it flies, soars high in the sky and spots its prey and dives down directly onto the fish. And then you see it flapping its wings and coming out of the water with a lovely fresh fish, Shafar. But this method is slightly different. They fly high up just to get the momentum, so that when they start their dive, they have enough speed to break the surface of the water and go quite deep into the water, Shafar. But once they are down, they're not diving directly onto a specific fish that they've spotted. They're diving into the shoal, and then they actually flap their wings underwater and actually swim and chase these sardines underwater. And I would recommend all the listeners, Shafar, to log on, onto social media and look for video clips of the greatest shoal on Earth. There's some really amazing footage of this phenomenon that I'm talking about. And it's really quite an eye-opener to watch how this happens and how these poor little sardines get prey from all angles, Shafar.
Yeah, the dolphins get into the mode, sharks come in there, and as you said, all the different game fish comes in there. I want to know from you, Adam, the gannets, they prey upon, P-R-E-Y, on the sardine. And who preys upon the gannets, Adam?
Well, Shafat, there's even more amazing footage on social media. I've seen videos of giant trevally, which is huge kingfish, actually hunting these birds that are sitting on the surface after they've gorged themselves on sardines. These kingfish actually come up and swallow them whole, Shafad. It's absolutely amazing. And then also you get sharks that do that as well. Sharks that are feeding on the sardines, they see a lovely plump gannet sitting on the surface that's barely able to take off from the water, and they also go and chomp on these gannets, Shafad. So they do have their predators.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, the sharks do. They call, hey, you're a shark, man. But the shark, they know when to come and what to do. And, you talk about kingfish, and I'm thinking about a nice bed of rice with king clip on it. But talk to us about the kingfish you're talking about, Adam.
Yes, Shafar. The kingfish is a very sought-after species on our KZN coast. The best bait for it is a live bait. So you could use, for example, a live shad or a live carentine. A lot of people travel up to Cape Vidal, Sirwana area. That's also quite famous for huge giant, it's called giant trevally. They call it GTs. And a lot of anglers challenge themselves to beat their personal best. They call it a PB. So they get really excited when they hook a GT of, say, 1 meter. And then the next year they beat it and, say, hook a GT of 1.2 meters apart. And also another popular method is using a popper, which is a lure that's got a cupped face. So you cast this lure beyond the breakers, and you keep jerking this lure and retrieve it back to the shore. And this cupped face causes like a popping sound with the water and a splashing action, and that entices the GT to actually attack the lure and to hook up to a chapad. So it's a really popular fish. The younger ones, most of us would keep it and make a nice meal out of it, but the bigger ones, chapad, a lot of the anglers show a lot of respect for these creatures and release them back into the ocean, chapad.
Adam, perhaps the question to ask you, did you ever catch a kingfish?
Yes, I've caught a few kingfish, but not the giant, you know, the monster ones. Most of the kingfish that I caught were in the Durban Harbour, and they really give such an amazing fight on light tackle, Shafar. In the harbour, we're always fishing light, say from about 6 to 8 pound line, and a light action 7 foot rod, Shafar. And these fish really give a great account for themselves. My good friend Willem Rieder has caught numerous kingfish on soft baits. These are plastic baits, the Makati soft baits especially. And you can find lots of videos that he's produced. His videos are so professional, you think it's done by National Geographic. You can find him on WR Fishing on YouTube and Facebook, Shafat. You can learn a lot about fishing and see some amazing documentary videos on him actually catching these kingfish in the Durban Harbour, Shafat.
Absolutely, Adam, and you bring it alive this morning on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And one more thing, Adam, you know, when we were growing up as lighties, we only heard our cha-chas and the kalus and that uncle there and the other top fishermen only, went to Durban Harbour. Hey, the grunters are biting. We only heard grunters, grunters, grunters. Why didn't we hear about the other fish, Adam?
I think it's because the grunter is such a tasty fish, apart. A lot of us target the grunter, and they are caught in different ways. The grunter, we would normally use a cracker shrimp and fish at the bottom. The grunters come to the sandbanks and they blow the holes, you know, into the sand to try and dislodge the cracker shrimp that are living there, and then they consume them. So you place your bait in the same area and hope to catch the grunters. And they range from about 1 kilo to about 4 kilos, and they make really good eating. The kingfish likes a moving bait, so that's why Willem is so successful with the Makati baits. So these plastic baits actually mimic a swimming fish, and that's how he catches the kingfish apart.
Absolutely, Adam. And yes, Gigi Foy in Bairat says, Adam, I want your recipe. What you got for us this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, you know, I've mentioned fried sardine before, but today I'll give you a sardine fish masala fry. So you start with about a half a dozen cleaned sardines and scored on both sides. And you use 2 teaspoons of chili powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 1.5 teaspoon turmeric powder, 2 cloves of garlic crushed. Mix all this well and leave it to marinate for about an hour. Then once that's done, you then pan fry in hot oil till the sardines are slightly blackened on both sides. Drain the excess oil from the pan and use that same oil that you fried the sardines in, and you add some curry leaves, some red chilies, and fry for a bit. Then you add 1 finely chopped onion to the same oil and fry it till golden brown. Add to this 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric powder, add 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and add the fish in there and give it a good mix. Let this cook for a couple of minutes and serve hot with hot rice, dal, pickles, and salad.
I tell you, Adam, you got the taste buds jumping there. You brought the dal into the right mix there, and I'm looking forward to that sardine mix of masala fry. Your parting words this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, I'd like to encourage all the listeners to look out for this page on Facebook. It's called The Sardine News 2022. My friend Sean Langer from the South Coast is trying to post accurate information as the sardines move up the coast. So if you want to stay up to date as to where they are, then look for The Sardine News 2022. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafar. Always a pleasure to be on air with you. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam to you, Adam. You are the professori of the ocean, bringing the motion right into the homes of people, not only here on the shorelines, but you're taking it right into the inlands. You have a blessed day ahead, Adam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.